Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Of our magic.
but he was a created being who mm-hmm. was like a covering angel that was sitting right next to the presence of God, and got puffed up mm-hmm. and got himself in trouble and said mm-hmm. he wanted to ascend the throne of God. And so he got mad. He got pissed off, he got the butt, he got mad, and he got kicked out of heaven. So what he did was he said, well, I'm going to mess with God's creation.
Right.
So that God created this thing called humans that we are.
Right.
So he said, what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to get them to fall the same way I fell.
Right. Misery loves company.
Yes, so he had the lust of the eye, the pride of the life, and the lust of the flesh. So he tries to get us to fall in that same matter. The biggest thing is he's trying to get us not to trust God.
Right.
And what he does is he gets permission from God to put us in difficult situations. And then he tries us by making it situation after situation after situation after situation with the intention that eventually we just going to break down and curse God and die.
Okay. Right.
That's the plan. But,
turn our back on God.
But I think a lot of times what we have to do is we have to look at the word and say, you know, God is the one that's orchestrating everything in this world, and that the enemy can only go but so far.
That's right.
And that God allows things to happen for a reason, to help us get strong and to prove to the universe and all the created principalities and powers that he is God and that his creation will love him because he loves us, and that we will love him because we understand who God is and God is love. So, you know, we've been given six senses. We can see it, we can smell it, we can see it, that's what we can feel it. But there's a spiritual realm that we can't see.
Right.
And I'm glad we can't see it.
Right.
Because they're probably scared to death. But because there's that spiritual realm that we can't see, those are the principalities, the rulers of darkness of this world that we can't see, who are waging spiritual warfare in the spirit against us, against God, against God's angels. And so they orchestrate this plan, you know, on a regular basis to get us to come up short so they can go to God and say, I thought, see,
right.
Mm-hmm.
That's your boy. He done
right.
messed up.
Right.
He didn't see. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a spiritual thing. So we have to understand that it's more than what meets the eye that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so Job gives us a glimpse into what's happening in the spiritual realm. And once you understand the glimpse of what's going on, and then you understand the agenda of the enemy, then you can really begin to start really leaning in and trusting God, even though the enemy is going to come after you. Attack after attack after
mm-hmm.
attack,
right.
To know that God's not going to allow anything to be put more on you than you can
bear.
Hallelujah. But this is the place that we have to learn this, because sometimes when attacks come, you're like, Lord, mercy. This, for real, Lord?
Come on.
Oh, my goodness. How much more can I take? Oh, my God. Why is this happening to me? And you know, if we're not thinking spiritual,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're going through depression,
right.
We'll start using drugs, we'll start trying to self-medicate, we'll start trying to do all those things. But if we understand how to deal with it until the spiritual battle eases, then we're going to be in trouble. But let's start with, and we might have to take two verses on this. Let's start
mm-hmm.
with Job, the first chapter. Let's stage this and get some background of what was going on with Job. Job hadn't did anything wrong. Job was 100% following God. Job, and I love this because Job understood his kids.
Yeah.
And his kids would get off the chain.
That's
sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
Job, Dr. Gregor, you
yeah.
can count to that.
Yeah.
Job stayed in prayer.
Had to.
So let's start with Job, the first chapter, verse 1. And it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And when we do this, I always tell people to put their name in there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Whose name, when you put your name in there.
That's right.
Who was perfect, not being perfect and he didn't do anything right, but that he was perfect as how his heart was toward God, that he wanted to do the right thing.
Right.
Perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. In other words, he was in the mindset that He didn't want to do anything that was against God. He wanted to please God. And in verse 2 it says, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Job had 10 kids.
Woman.
Amen. Amen. It was good to have children back then.
Oh, yeah.
To help around with the housework.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what they do now. Kids don't help around with that. But that's a different show. That's a different show, Doc. Still G, that's a different show. But in verse 3 it says, his substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the Eden. I told you guys that you don't have to be poor to serve the Lord.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You just have to walk upright in the shoe of Eden.
Right.
That's another sermon. In verse 4, it says, and his son went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat, drink with them. And here goes Job, being the father, says, and it was so that when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart. And it says, thus did Job continue. In other words, Job was always on his knees and praying, anticipating that the enemy might try to come in and get his children to get off the chain.
Right.
If anybody got children, they know the children. Somebody get ready to run
will
out the house.
Keep you on your knees.
Somebody get ready to run out the house.
They will keep you on your knees praying.
And the thing is they're not spiritually strong enough to come up against the wiles of the attacks.
Right,
of the
temptation.
And they think we don't know nothing.
Right.
They think we haven't been through anything. They don't think that we ever got our butt beat by
right.
the devil. And they think we're just getting on their nerves telling them, you know, what to do just to be mean.
Right.
Uh-huh. Not the great way we think about it.
Oh,
not.
Yeah. I mean, we don't want them to have any fun.
Right.
You know, we're just trying to keep them from living their life.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Heard it many a day.
Yeah.
Sheila, you a mean old mom?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I'm the meanest mom in the world.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I want them to do what is right. And I want them to work hard so that they can get paid later.
Amen.
But they want to get paid now
Amen.
And never work.
Oh, geez. Oh, my goodness.
But too, you know, that's what parents do.
Right.
You know, this thing of trying to.
Oh, Lord.
We're going to buy our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got to tell them no.
Right.
Yeah.
And as Christian parents, Christian adults, what we have to recognize is we got to learn to be like Job.
Amen.
Yes.
And stay on our knees.
Yes.
Because there's a song says that the pain doesn't care where you live
right.
or who you are.
Right. Uh-oh.
Because the enemy will come in and take your bestest friend.
Yeah.
Your BFF.
Yeah.
Your cheering.
Yeah.
Your husband, your
yeah.
wife. He'll come in and say, you know, Dr. Gregory, he got it too easy, God, because you got your hand around him.
Mm-hmm.
Move your hand and I'm going to come in and mess with his family. And he going to throw in the towel, quick preaching, quick pastoring.
Uh-huh.
And he going to throw in the towel.
Well,
and God said, I know him better than that. Go ahead. Go ahead and mess with the family. And here's Dr. Gregory, unsuspected, but he's staying on
yeah,
his knees.
Mm-hmm.
Praying for his family, and the enemy's throwing everything yeah. that he has in.
Mm-hmm.
Left hook,
everything.
Right hook, uppercut,
yeah.
coming off the top rope like the World Wrestling
Federation.
Hitting you coming across the ring, off the rope with a clothesline,
yeah.
and you sitting on the canvas talking about what in the world?
All I'm trying to do is live right. And I'll get my butt kicked.
I'm preaching, I'm teaching, I'm being the first lady, I'm being a good member, I'm doing everything and why is this happening to me? It's because there's a spiritual battle constantly being waged to bring shame or to discredit God.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And to tell people that we won't love God because of how he has developed a relationship with us.
Right.
And so, you know, that's the battle that wages. It's bigger than us.
A lot bigger. And you know, the devil will use those that are close to bring you down.
My goodness.
We'll use those that are close. That emotional side, what we were talking about earlier
today.
Exactly. Hit that emotion to bring you down.
And it's like it'll pull at you,
mm-hmm.
because they're the ones you see every day, the one you interact the most.
Right.
And so look at that verse 5. It says, and it was so that when the days of their feasting were gone about, and this is what I tell all the men that I counsel, is that when everybody else is partying and the family's having a good time, the man of the house has to be the priest of his home.
Ouch.
Right.
Come on.
And he has to stand up. And when everything else is falling apart, he has to be the one to be able to stand up and say, you know, this is not right. This is not right. I'm going to be the one, when everything's falling together, to tell everybody, we need to turn to God.
Right. Yeah. Even if it's not popular.
That's right. Even if it's not popular. But that's the responsibility God gave to the man, that he should be the household. Even when his wife is nagging and talking off the wah, you gotta stand up and say, "Baby, I hear what you said, but we're gonna do what the Lord says."
Right.
Because he'll use the wife too. Bugging you, nothing good enough. You don't do this. You always do this, and you never do this.
Come on now, I'm talking to somebody.
But the thing is. Men, and I tell men, you know, don't come in here crying talking about what she did, my wife did. I don't even want to hear it.
Right.
God made your shoulders wide enough spiritually to be able to handle all of that.
That's right.
They look at me crazy. So when the kids are off the chain, the dogs off the chain, the fish don't come to the top, the cat's running around, the bills are doing everything, you got to be the one that says, look, none of us can handle this, but God can. Let's turn to God.
Right.
And that's what Job did. He said he did this continually.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, every day. Because he was sanctifying, and that's what the husband, and that's why, you know, we counsel with these young women that go out here and get involved with all these 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 20, 100, 11 guys.
Right.
And none of them are willing to stand up and sanctify the family.
Nope. Right. Because it can't be the head.
He just gonna hit it and quit it.
Right.
He ain't sanctifying nothing. Right. He ain't on his knees praying nothing. He's not looking at you as being a covering for you. He's not looking at nothing. All he wanna do is have a little bit of fun and then go on about his business. And you wonder why the family is breaking children have problems,
because
the husband's not being the priest of the household, sanctifying the family, so that when the enemy attack, and he's coming, Sheila G.
Yes, he is.
That he can turn to the Word of God and say, you know, it's coming, but God's got this covered.
Right.
We just need to seek and trust Him and weather the storm, standing on His promise.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good stuff. I'm going to run out of time. Lord have mercy. So the spiritual warfare gets ready to come in here. But Job has been on his knees praying. Let's go to verse 6. Job 1:6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them.
Hmm.
I wonder if people really understand.
Say that one again.
When the sons of God, the spiritual sons of God, came before God, there's people that they're created beings that are watching over this world that God's created, and Satan has access just like they do.
Yeah.
Isn't that scary?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That they're having conversations about us. While we're sleeping.
Uh-huh.
While we're going about, you know, waiting for the snow to come.
Yeah.
Complaining about what's for dinner and all this.
Yeah.
They have conversations, a spiritual, which we can't see with our five senses.
Mm-hmm.
They came to keep them safe. And look at verse 7. It says, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? I know he gets tired of looking at this joke.
Then he come again. What?
You know, humanly, sometimes you see people come and you're like, oh, Lord, here they come. And God knows, he knows his tricks, he knows his plans.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, when's coming to out? And in verse 7, he says, then Satan answered the Lord, I'm going to and fro in the earth. From walking up and down in it. In other words, he is pissed off that he got kicked out of heaven when he was Lucifer right in the morning, and he was this covering cherubim, and he got kicked out. So now he says, I'm going to mess with God's beloved creation, man. Says, what is it that God loves, man, that he made him just a little lower than the angels?
Mm-hmm.
What is it about these human folk that God loves?
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand it, and they keep messing up, but God forgives them, and
mm-hmm.
God takes care of them, and God has a relationship, and they love God, and he doesn't understand that. But that's something how God created us. And so he's trying to destroy that relationship that we have with God by bringing hardship on God's creation. Let's look at verse 8. It says, and the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered? Now, everyone needs to put their name in here. Everybody listening on the radio, you need to put your name in verse 8. Hast thou considered my servant? Put your name where Job is. Anthony.
Eva.
What do you think about that, Doc?
Well, you know, every time I read it's interesting that the Lord would say, because really, he opportunity rang on his feet, but yet he knows what Satan knows how he and again, all of this in the Word is for us.
Yeah.
Not for him.
Right, right.
He already knew the abortion.
Right. So Sheila, do you believe that God had that conversation with Satan in your life?
Oh, I know he has. Sometimes I'll say that when there's like tribulation after tribulation after tribulation,
mm-hmm.
I will speak it aloud and say, this is just God bragging on me.
Yeah, yeah. But see, you've got to the maturity that God needs us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan was scratching his head like, Lord have mercy, what you mean? I done threw the best I had at you. And you still talking about God is bragging on you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he going to try you. He going to try you. But if you are immature in the spirit,
right.
He knows that he can be successful.
Right.
That's why we have to be spiritually mature. To be able to understand, we have five senses, but we can still wage war
mm-hmm.
in the spirit and pull down and cast out strongholds in the spirit, but we have to be in tune with the spirit of God.
Right.
Not the spirit of marijuana. Uh-oh.
Nope.
Johnny Walker, Budweiser.
Those other spirits.
Yeah, those other spirits. Try the spirit, by the spirit, see if they be of God.
Right.
All of that, spirit.
But you too, it's you know God. Wow. Stay in prayer over those that aren't mature.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just like
right.
An offering, praying daily.
Right.
We've got to do the same thing.
Absolutely.
Because we do recognize what the enemy is doing. And he's not going to let up.
No.
He may just try a different way of going
about
it.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying in this lesson, and we don't want to rush it, is that people have to realize on a daily basis there's a spiritual battle going on.
Yeah.
We can't reiterate it enough that there's a battle. It's like when you walk outside your door, the word says that it's like a crouching at your door. And then sometimes that just will ride in on somebody.
He will.
Time.
He will.
Right, on
right in there with
he
you.
Ride right on somebody.
Right mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of times it's good when you sense that those spirits in your house, that
mm-hmm.
you just be quiet. Because what will happen is emotions will be and when you're quiet, you can focus on the spiritual
right.
side to help keep that emotion
right.
and keep you from saying something that you realize,
right. Absolutely. And you have to be. I think sometimes people, Dr. Reddy, I think sometimes people just get tired and they don't want to be aware. They
right.
just want to live their
true.
Life free,
yeah.
with no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus didn't promise that.
No.
And I think people sometimes just want, I don't want to worry about that. I'm just God got it. But you got to apply His word to your life, because the enemy, that, like I said, he's trying to sift you like wheat. He's
yeah.
trying to utterly destroy.
Right.
Yeah.
He don't care about you being tired.
Right. We'll take it back.
And study and apply so that when this flesh and blood tells us, Because all of us are in the flesh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't fool yourself.
Right.
Think that you got this thing under control and you can handle it.
No.
Satan be like, yeah, you think you got that. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It's interesting. Family. And everybody.
Right.
Yes.
Not asking Christ
with
like
that old family situation. Mm-hmm. You didn't see so much Christ like
that. Yeah.
It was the flesh and blood.
The flesh was in it. I mean, they were literally going out. And it's interesting how we can turn Christ off. We turn the Christian off.
Switch.
Listen off of a light.
Exactly.
And then go on to do what we, and then we'll come back when it's convenient.
Uh-huh.
And here we
flipping
go again.
Back on. Right.
Yeah.
Right. But that's the flesh and the blood of the
flesh. Flesh.
That's the flesh. It's not acting spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you have to learn how to charge up or get that spirit to work in where it supersedes the flesh by getting into that word on a daily basis and applying it to Christ. Otherwise, all of us walk in the flesh.
Amen.
You walk out the house and stop being prayed up.
Yeah.
You jump in that car, you know, public traffic.
Right,
and let somebody do something to you. Watch that flesh jump up. Watch that old man jump up.
Right.
That old man will jump up
quit.
And cuss somebody
quit.
Out.
Quit. And see, part of that, too, is the pride that we have.
Yeah.
Because we don't want nobody to mess with us.
Yeah.
Don't care how much Christ we got
that's
in.
Right.
We'll turn on him and cuss him out
that's
quick
right.
faster than a minute.
That's right. They pick the Bible up somewhere. Look at this scripture.
Hello.
Look at this scripture right here. I was reading this in my daily devotion.
Uh-huh.
And that's what it is. It's the I. It's the I. It's I, which goes back to the pride.
Right.
I don't want anybody to mess with me because
right.
I am so much better than everybody else.
Exactly.
I. So don't step on my foot.
And then talking about this is what we had in devotion. You just cut 10 people out on your way to work. Walking on your face,
uh-huh.
attitude. Living in the flesh, but this is what God, this is what Paul was saying. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. In other words, anytime you have something challenging what the spirit would do to get you to do something in the flesh, that's a spiritual warfare.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In other words, if it's pulling you in a direction opposite from what the spirit of God would have you to do, or doing something contrary to what the word of God, the spirit of God would have you to do, then you know it's the flesh and blood.
Right.
It's a spiritual attack trying to get you to act up
right.
in the flesh.
Yeah.
Can I say that word? Act up.
Okay.
Act up.
Don't have no act right.
Come on.
And some days we don't have no act right.
Uh-huh.
I know y'all talking.
Even
I'm,
in the church.
I'm flitting verbs and double negatives and everything for a fact.
Come on.
That's right.
We don't have no act right
uh-huh.
because we're walking in the flesh.
Right.
Go to heaven, say a prayer, get out, and then mad for somebody say that you prayed too long.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm messing with somebody now.
Well, I had folks, we got out of service, evening service. Two people got fighting, words going back
uh-huh.
and forth. People, the visiting church, was still there.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
That natural behind.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
church.
Natural behind.
Just got out of
yeah.
service.
In front of company.
And you know who was orchestrating that, right?
Yeah. It was embarrassing.
It was
a long time ago, but I do remember that.
And say something. Ha ha! I told you they wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit was high. Preachers preached. People were worshiping. Said, I can't. Let me mess with these folks' flesh. And they fell down. And got their butts with the flesh. But this is what Paul is saying. He says in Ephesians 6:12, he says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Against the power. See, people are not even paying, it's not even on their radar.
Right.
Against the rulers of what?
Darkness of this world.
Against what?
Spiritual wickedness in high places.
This is what I'm talking about. Spiritual wickedness in high places. And I think, Dr. Grady, sometimes people don't think that this stuff exists.
Yes,
I think we just happy-go-lucky.
Spiritual battle.
You know?
It's real.
Here's
then you got Paul, got big boy up there,
mm-hmm.
and then he got his little lances and everything
right.
working down here.
Working mm-hmm. it.
He got it covered.
Yep.
And we're naive to think that it's not an attack coming up.
Right.
It's not going to happen to me.
Right.
I'm
and we don't realize that he'll even use things. He'll use
that's
your computer. He'll
it.
Use your car.
That's
he'll
it.
Use a woman walking down the street.
Absolutely. Anything.
He'll create new fashions.
Yeah. Yep.
He'll say, okay, this time I can get some guys to start cheating if I make miniskirts.
Right. All right. I'm going to mess with the football fashion. Oh,
yeah.
You football.
Yeah.
I can't go to during the season.
Yes.
My team is playing.
Yes, and things like, I got you. I got you. I'm going to mess your week up.
Mess it all up. but this is, and I try to tell people, the moment you get saved, somebody needs to teach you about first corporate. You need to get in front of somebody. The moment you get saved, you need to get in front of somebody that's going to teach you about first corporate.
Right.
Because the worst thing that you do to Satan is to learn the word, learn how to deal with him on a spiritual basis, and to start living that word.
Mm-hmm.
And so immediately, once you get saved, he's going to try to bombard you with spiritual wickedness from high places to get you act like a unsaved Christian.
Right.
A carnal Christian.
At that point, vulnerable if he can get you when you first just get me. He got a better chance to get you to come back out.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he attacks folks like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when we baptize and we first accepted the Lord, we explain to them, okay, you're on a high right now. The tears are flowing. But as soon as you down off that, the enemy is going to be after.
Right.
He's going to throw everything at you to get you to come back.
That's not fair. Life's not fair. And again, he don't care where you live or who you are.
No, don't care. Yeah.
And he wants to attack the babe.
Amen.
Yeah.
He wants to attack the babe. He wants to attack the babe. Because he can't go up against strong folks like Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And people that have been walking with the Lord and mature, trusting God, walking by faith and not by sight.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you walk by faith and not by sight, in other words, you're not fazed by the stuff that the Joker puts in front of you on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of that stuff, you're like, oh my God, how are we going to get through this?
Right.
But if you look at it with your physical eye.
You look at it with your physical eye.
But if you look at it with your spiritual eye, you're walking by faith and not by sight. In other words, you have the whole armor of God on, and you're like you said, going on your path to victory.
Mm-hmm.
If God took care of that, I know he can take care of this.
Mm-hmm.
So it might not look good. It might not feel good.
Mm-hmm.
It might even be embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
But if I trust God, I know he's going to bring me through it.
Yeah.
Because God won't allow the enemy to put more on me than
I can
bear. And so I'm leaning and depending on him, waiting for my change to come.
Right, exactly.
And while I'm waiting, I'm going to be prayerful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be worshipful.
I'm praising.
I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to be praising. I'm going to be going through all of these things.
Yeah.
You know, that the word has proven until that storm is gone.
And that's another victory I can put on my
Amen.
Closet.
Amen. But I'm gonna keep my armor because I know the attacks, the fiery darts are coming.
Yeah, exactly. Until the day you die.
But you still keep forward.
Like,
right.
And so that's the, I tell them, first you get saved, then you do spiritual warfare. And then the third thing is you got to understand about thanksgiving and praise.
Right.
Because what happens is if you lose your joy, your thanksgiving and praise in the midst of the battle, you'll never be able to recover. You become battle fatigued.
Right.
And you won't be able to gain it. So once you're saved and you're in warfare, you got to be taught that you got to be like Job, when you got to worship God in spite of what's going on to keep your joy. So that when the enemy comes in, you can get renewed, and you can begin to start exchanging what I call what Isaiah said, you exchange beauty.
All right.
In other words, you take your weak, torn up stuff, and you take it to God, and say, God, I need a strength exchange.
Come on.
And when you get that strength exchange from God, God will give you what you need to be able to stand up in the battle again. So you got to learn those things often.
And it's really important to understand that there is a difference between joy.
Yes.
And being happy. You can be unhappy. You can be unhappy. You can be crying. You can be sad, but you can still have the joy of the Lord.
Exactly.
That's the joy of the Lord. That's the joy that you know that, you know, I'm crying, I'm hurting, I feel really bad right now, but I know that in a minute, in the morning, and maybe a couple of mornings, I'm going to be all right because I have the joy of the Lord.
Yeah.
There's a difference between joy and happiness.
That's so true. But again, you have to position yourself in the enemy will do. If he will get people to not look at their leaders as having spiritual gifts that is going to equip them for the work of the ministry. And it's tough to get people to understand that, you know, God is going to equip people with gifts for our ministry.
Right.
But again, you turn to that flesh,
mm-hmm.
and they say, well, he's just a man. He's just a pastor. She's just a Christian. I can get it anywhere. But God will make people who have gifts, he will build you up available to you. But he's not, you can lead a horse to water, but you
can't make him drink it.
God, he's given those basic five-fold ministries. There's other ministries, other gifts for people that can edify you and build you up. But he has blinded us to the fact that we're not seeking people that have gifts to build us
right.
up.
Mm. Correct.
We're focusing on one thing. It's just that I want to live happy. You know, and as long as I live happy, I'm okay.
There goes happy.
Right.
Happy and proud.
But God,
you gotta have joy.
God says the body of Christ is made up of spiritual gifts, and He gives those gifts. Let's go to that real quick. Let's go to Ephesians 4, and let's look at verse 11. It says, and He gave some apostles. This is where people get their five-fold ministry. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors. And the reason why He gave that in verse 12 is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, or edifying means building up of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to continue to put ourselves in a position where those gifts that people have can build us up so that we can be spiritually mature enough be able to handle this onslaught of the enemy that comes on a daily basis, spiritual wickedness in high places.
Right.
But people don't want to get into the word. They look at people that have those gifts as just men or women that don't have the gift.
Right.
They don't respect God enough to say, you know, that person's not perfect, but that person has the gift of pastor.
Right.
That person has the gift of teaching. That person has the gift of
preaching
or prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
That person has the gift of apostleship.
Mm-hmm.
And appreciating the gift, praying for the person, because that person is not perfect like Job wasn't perfect.
Right.
But saying that person has the ability to be able to build me up, and so I'm going to take the meat and leave the bone.
Right. Yeah.
But what happens is people get caught up with the imperfection of people,
mm-hmm.
the apostle, the prophet, the
right.
evangelist, the teacher.
Focus on that.
Say, man, their imperfections are so outrageous. Then I'm just throwing everything to the side.
Right.
So what happens is the spiritual gifting in you is no longer being utilized, and so now the enemy has you.
Right.
And he's become victorious because now you're not being edified and you're not using your spiritual gift, all because the spiritual wickedness in high places has deceived you into the point that you can't see the blessing that God is giving from those people that have the gift.
Right. Because you expect them to be perfect.
Right. And I don't know anybody.
No.
Gregory?
No.
Nope.
No, I don't know anybody.
Do you know anybody that doesn't need edifying?
Oh, no.
No. One at all.
And you mean everybody needs to be edified and built up?
Anyway.
Maybe I'm missing something. Then you mean you ain't got a whole bunch of perfect folk over there?
No. From the head all the way. From the pulpit to the door, none of us are perfect.
There's all these perfect people that the heart of God are missing.
No.
I mean, look, check this. I've been preaching, it'll be 40 years, September of this year, that I've been preaching.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still working on me.
Amen.
And I'm still working on me.
I have enough that when folk do call, I can point them in the right direction.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's why I tell them, call me.
Right.
But
right.
again, you know, everybody doing their own little thing.
Right. And to your point, I remember years ago, someone asked me a question. Now, I know that you're married. And I know that there's times that even on Sunday, mm-hmm. if your husband has kicked you off,
yeah.
but mm-hmm. yet and still when you come in here, he still seems to appear to be receiving the word. Mm-hmm. But that's because when he steps into that pulpit, he saw the Holy Spirit to come with him.
Right.
I don't see him.
Right. What God is going to do through him.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I'm looking to see, okay, Lord, you speak to me. And I don't see him. Because I see him as coming out of
right.
Now the Spirit
that anointing.
And the anointing in the Spirit that take it.
Absolutely. And then after that, get pissed
then
off.
After that, <I'll> be...
Okay, you finished.
All right. Now the Spirit's gone.
Lord Jesus.
And a guy came back out of you.
but this is spiritual attack of the enemy.
Right.
That will get you to the point where you're no longer going to get your
mm-hmm.
cause you to be so carnal, so
mm-hmm.
fleshy, that you no longer going to get your blessing because
right.
you're upset with the flesh or the imperfection of the person that has the gift.
Right.
Lord have mercy.
And that's a good point that you brought up. Because of what you're going to fight or not to the problem.
Yeah.
Right.
Because the two, your attitude,
yeah.
and how you're acting to it rather than keeping your focus.
That's the key. Keeping the focus on,
and that's a favorite go-to of the enemy.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
Keep your
focus
on
God.
Uh-huh.
Put it on man and
yeah.
their perfections.
Yeah.
And then nobody who preaches, nobody who teaches, nobody
yeah.
who's apostle, nobody who's a shepherd. They won't be able to get you because
right.
you're focusing in
mm-hmm.
on the flesh. You're gonna take a big Frank brush
mm-hmm.
and say everybody that's a Christian is like that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you're not looking at the anointing that God gave to imperfect people.
Right. So you're not hearing his message.
And you're not hearing him. Everybody that sings, everybody that preaches,
mm-hmm.
everybody that teaches, everybody in that fivefold ministry, the evangelist, from whatever gift you have, they're not perfect.
Not perfect. Here they die.
In the Bible.
Yes.
I'm
sure.
But if you get focused in that and tricked by those principalities in high places, you will miss what the apostle has to do.
Right.
You will miss what the prophet has to give.
Right.
You will miss what the evangelist and the pastor and teachers have to give.
That's
because
right.
none of them will be good enough in your sight. And they might be good for a year or two,
mm-hmm.
but let them mess up one time.
Oh, yeah.
I can't hear that no more.
But you know, too, you make a good point, and that's why it's important for these folks. They have to be very careful what they do, how they carry themselves,
yeah.
how they present themselves. I've been out in public, and folks are always talking about me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what these
people are. Right.
Yeah.
But thank God I'm not doing anything I'm not supposed to be.
Yeah, what were you
with?
Who
you with?
Sure,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
with my wife.
And okay. I get a phone call.
Is that Lady Gregory?
That didn't look like her.
Shorter than her.
And I
well,
know he doesn't have a sister. So.
gee. That's why you got to carry yourself.
Yes.
That's why. This is why it's important to get into the Word, stay in the Spirit, so that flesh won't jump up and get acting up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But again, that was the point that we wanted to make for all of us. Yeah. Is that spirit thing is real.
It is
real.
It's a battle.
It is real. We have five sisters. I'm glad we don't have six. Because if we did and had that as a sense,
mm-hmm.
we'd be scared high under the bed.
We wouldn't want to come outside.
Huh?
You know, we look at the things and the trials and tribulations that we go through, but we never see what God has protected us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Say that again.
We never see what God has protected us from. There are some things that we could have gone through that could have happened. God has protected us because we couldn't bear it.
Exactly.
And he knows how much we can bear. So that's how we know when we're going through, he's only going to give us what we can bear because what I can't bear, he's going to stand up
and keep you from it. So, yeah, it's really, really important. Now, I know we've been trying to drive this point home. But there's something spiritually out there that's going against God and trying to use whatever powers that are available to get the relationship between us and God to grow.
Yeah.
It's to fail.
Something. Go back to the enemy.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Is trying to protect us.
Yeah.
Because as you said, all of what's going on,
right,
we would not be able to have.
No.
It's bad enough dealing with
what
we
do
down here.
I know.
And we can't keep our focus straight.
So that's the point we're trying to drive home. I know we're going to get deeper. So that's the point we're trying to drive home. Be aware. To be unprepared, unedified in this is really a dangerous thing.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be edified. We need to be built up. We need to be made stronger. That there's sure our relationship.
Yeah.
Mm. Prevent people who are not saved from getting saved,
mm-hmm.
and prevent those who are saved from living the abundant life that God wants to have with you in relationship. But I think people don't realize it's a spiritual warfare. I really think that sometimes they realize it, they won't put themselves in a position to get edified or built up or be taught or be pastored or guided to understand this is an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
This is like, you got to be prepared for this. It's like if you can brush your teeth every day.
Amen.
You got to do it.
You know, look at
chapter
Ephesians 6. Praying always, all prayer, supplication, spirit.
Right.
Watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication.
Good. You gotta stay constant. And this is what Job did continually.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we have to do continually. And we have to take our roles as the priest of the household seriously.
Yeah.
You just can't be player.
No.
You got to take this thing seriously. And you have to, like in Psalm 1, you have to, that's in the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the spirit. But his delight is in the, his delight is in all the But his delight is in all of God. Verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It is awful, but his delight is in all of the Lord. In his law does he meditate. In other words, it's a single thing. Goes on in verse 3 of Psalm 1 and says, you shall be like a tree planted. In other words, he's got roots that go down,
mm-hmm.
that in the time of difficulty, he's still getting water.
Yeah.
Amen.
From he's still getting refreshed.
Yeah.
Because his roots go down deep.
Yeah.
He shall bring forth his fruit in his season, his leaves also shall be running around, up and down, shouting and hollering. And whatsoever he does shall prosper.
Mm.
Because the roots are down deep.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what the enemy goes, you're going to be able to prosper in your season.
Mm-hmm.
That's the time a lot of people are out of season, out of step with God.
Mm.
But if you're rooted and grounded, have a constant, then you will be able to operate in your season. It's always prosper. But again, you go back to that Ephesians. You have to be continuous in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You got to continue on the Lord. You got to continue to be the priest of the household.
Right.
You got to continue to get into the Word. Be a participant in church school, Bible study, daily devotion. These things people might say religious. If they're not religious, they are vital to your spiritual existence.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, one thing that we were talking about as far as what God, how Satan wants to separate us from God. He wants to use one thing God gives us for us to turn against God, and that's free will.
Yeah.
the fact that we have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And God loves us enough to give us a choice,
exactly.
But Satan wants to use that loving free will
mm-hmm.
to turn us, to make us choose the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we wanted to get across. But we're going to continue in the book of Job, how he attacks one after one. And we're going to look at Job's response.
Mm-hmm.
His response. And it's the thing that people would think you crazy.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world will you be able to go through all of this
mm-hmm.
and still give God praise?
And he still gave God praise. Still, there was a point in this book where he was, quote, unhappy.
Yeah, he was unhappy.
And he told God he was unhappy.
He was weak.
But he never lost his love. He still communicated with God.
Right.
Still, and with that thing, that's, if nothing else, that's what should be driven home, is that there are going to be times where you're going to be happy, you're going to be slain, you're going to be upset. But as long as you continue to communicate
mm-hmm.
and keep that, even if you tell God, I don't understand.
Right.
And he puts it in there, mean not that you don't understand it.
Right.
Well, he knows we don't understand.
Right, right. He communicates.
He's communicating. And it doesn't always have to be these loud, exuberant prayers. Sometimes it's like, Lord, you know what? I'm tired. I don't understand.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Help me.
Help me.
That is, help me. That's in the Bible, too. I preached a sermon on that one. Help me.
That's right.
But, you know, it's been really rich. Really good.
Mm-hmm.
People just got to realize it's a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
And it's real, but you don't need to get too bent out of shape. You
no.
don't need to get scared. God is giving you the best.
Right.
To be able to deal with it.
Right. And any more corn
no.
than you can handle. And he knows
yeah.
better
he
than
knows.
You do what you can handle.
Mm-hmm. He's working the lines, the phone lines. Thank God for Mr. Anthony. Stay before the Lord. You can apply this word to your life.
Yeah.
You will be victorious.
Mm-hmm.
You will be victorious. I never promised you it was going to be easy.
No,
whatever.
It did not.
But
did
he
not.
Promised that he would be there with
you. Always. Amen. Always.
No time. Down
and put
it's not that God left you.
That's
when he
can.
Amen. Dr. Gregory, you want to close us out? Anything you'd like to say? Or?
No, we just believe the story is told.
Amen.
Still learning, developing. Good thing out. Teaching.
Yeah.
Irregardless, look like it doesn't. Stay praying continually. Stay in touch with him. He's going to teach you how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That he's your Lord. Shall we bow our heads? Become a God of God. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I might get into this study.
Mm-hmm.
Father Joe, perfect. Was enough fight.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He had his father. Or he too went through all the reasons. Father, we learned so many different
yeah.
things studying about Job and some things about this spiritual battle.
Yeah.
Father, we must realize that it is a real spiritual battle. The enemy is real. And Lord, you are for real.
Thank you, Lord.
But Lord, we ask you that you continue to give us all that we need in order to be victorious. Now, Lord, we thank you for the listening audience.
Yeah.
We thank you for
yeah.
these that have come out tonight, Lord. We pray that you grant us traveling mercy
yeah.
until
yeah.
we can come together again. Father, we claim the victory over the enemy, over the
yes, Lord.
Father, we ask it all right now in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray.
Amen.
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 Everyone, yes. Again, if you want to get this entire thing, go to the website, www.blogtalkradio.com.
age. Entirety, listen to it, share it with somebody else. Remember, there's nothing new under the sun. After back there was no happening right here with us today. God bless. Good night, and we'll see you next.